Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing? And this is Psychic X Journey Man, your host, and this is Psychic X Journey Man's Spiritual Link. So welcome to the show, and how you doing? We're going to bring on our friend here, our co-host, I guess you'd say, since she's been here for every show. We can get the switchboard to work. There we go. And let's see what happens. Don't you love that one? Hello, D, there?
Yep, I'm here.
I had the phone ringer off.
And I was totally engrossed and whatever. Shame
right.
on me.
Hey, it happens with the situation, that kind of stuff. And I was just going to tell everybody, if they want to call in, just give us a call here at 646-721-9031. We're hoping to actually, keep continuing doing the shows every week, and people are going to start knowing that we're here and showing up. Right now, we're actually still waiting for them to show up.
And guests just left.
Yes, I was sort of looking at that whole thing, too, going, okay, I guess you didn't like what you heard. Why not? We never got a chance to even say anything.
Well.
So how was your Valentine's Day?
Yesterday was better, because I heard from Tony yesterday instead of Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I think we should sit there and think about the situation instead of stressing so much because we don't hear from somebody in one day. When we've I've had some people contact me and said, well, he didn't call yesterday, but he's called every day before then, and he's given me all kinds of gifts. So what happened on Valentine's Day? I said, well, maybe you ran out of money. he already gave you, gifts leading up to the whole thing. So, maybe
his cell phone died? Who knows?
Yeah, but sometimes it's just we have to sit here and look at it too realistically and say, okay, it's just a day. We're making putting too much emphasis on it, as in if a person doesn't respond to us on that one day, they don't like us anymore.
Right.
When they've been there for us all week and all year and all month,
people get bent out of shape over everything.
Yeah, they sleep right.
I used to be that bad.
Right.
I get over it.
We learned from our lesson.
At least I hope I got over it.
Well, if you didn't get off, get over it, get off. Let me rephrase that.
Wait a minute here. That's a whole other show. And I don't think it's Blog Talk Psychic either.
No, I've actually seen that. There's a show out there called This Makes Sex Better. But that's not here. This is not our show, so we don't talk about those kind of things. Give you a clue. Well, there is a certain position that you can do that's a spiritual connection. So if someone calls, we'll tell them all about it.
Right, ask them if they've been contemplating their navel or the witchness of why.
Yeah. Actually, I was sitting there thinking about the situation I talked about you two, about sending you an email about Tony, and it keeps telling me that I don't need to. There's not really a lot of depth in the whole thing except for a lot of confirmation, confirming things that you already know. And the thing that came to me the most was the sincerity, what's going on. It's just a matter of time, patience, which you don't like.
I don't like patience? Actually,
no.
I'm much more patient than I was when I was younger. I was horribly impatient.
But that still doesn't make you like it.
Well, I'm not exactly enamored with it, but, you know, it is what it is.
It is.
And I figure he's worth the wait.
Well, we were sitting talking about the other day, too. You know, patience is something you're going to constantly work with, because every situation you get yourself into, you get either a lot of patience or a little patience, so you're always learning how much you give or don't give to
mm-hmm.
actually allow it to allow the situation to unfold the way it's going to go. So patience, the reason we have to constantly work on patience is because each situation is different.
That's true.
And we was also thinking about this. I heard this today. It was a friend of mine was telling me, she said, I got a reading where they keep telling me just be this person's friend. And I'm like, okay. But what I wanted to sit there and stress on, and the idea that when we are being friends with somebody, I think we're actually more inclined to be totally honest with them than we was if we were in a
right.
relationship. Which is kind of funny. You think it the other way around. But I think when people say be friends and work on that friendship, is to realize also in the process of that friendship, when you do get into a relationship, the friendship doesn't go anywhere. It just becomes more intense, and it goes on to a different level. But the friendship is always
exactly.
there, because we always consider each other best friends. So why don't we tell each other exactly what we need to in the process of communication?
True.
It makes you wonder. So when you sit there and look at the situation, go, okay, maybe we should step back in the midst of a relationship and say, right now I want to be your friends. You know, like in the military. At ease, soldier, you know, or when you're sitting there talking to someone, you've seen on the shows where the person says, can we step out of the box for a minute instead of you being my captain and I'm the private, can I speak candidly? And if we could actually do the same thing in a relationship of saying, can I talk candidly? And it has no disrespect to you, but this is how I feel, and this is what I feel like is up with the situation, and maybe it's not what I feel is up with you. I think we should always be able to, in a relationship, we should always be able to express our feelings and tell each other how we really feel. No matter if the other person can't deal with it or not. I mean, how can this person never deal with it if we're constantly never going there?
That's true. There are more people out there that don't want to hear anything.
I mean, isn't that what relationships are for, to help each other deal with things?
Supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some strange people out there.
Exactly. So you sit and look at the situation and go, okay, everything's fine. It really is. Realistically, it's when we start feeding into it too much of saying, well, what is it? Well, maybe we should just look at it for what it really is. It's just something to think about when you look at the situation and going, boy, I can't wait till those donations start popping in here so we can actually go back to a two-hour format for the rest of the week instead of on Fridays and Saturdays. But it's coming. I busted my butt off on this other company I work for, so we're definitely going to get that whole thing. I've actually been talking to people about sponsorship, too. I actually have been talking to someone now right now who I've been focusing on manifesting actually to sponsor the show. I felt like if I could get one sponsor who could cover the fees and stuff, then we could focus
right.
on the format of the show more. And we have a caller. So let's go to the caller.
Cool.
All right. Okay, now we got area code 831. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hi.
We're doing good. If you could just speak up for us just a little bit.
Sure. Just wanted to know what was going ahead for me. We've got a lot of irons going. And
you have a lot of irons going?
Yeah, you know, a lot of irons in the pot, and I just wanted to
you got
to
a lot of irons in the fire, yeah.
And just wanted to know where I should be focusing.
What you should be focusing on, dear, the very first thing that came to me was you continue to focus on you, so therefore you have the strength to keep or the strength and the courage to keep following through with what you need to do. You already have a plan, but you keep kind of like, if you think about it too much, you have a tendency to take too many steps backwards when you should be just going for it. Because you took the courage to put the irons in the fire in the first place. It's the ideal. Just keep going forward like you've been doing. So these things will come to fruition, come into reality, and to come into visible form. So, you know, you already got everything going on. It's just the idea, like we were talking about before at the beginning of the show, when we're talking about patience. Patience is one of those things we have to constantly keep working with, because, like I said before, sometimes you got to give certain things more patience, and then other things you have to just be patient enough. But people also have to realize one thing, too, that sometimes with situations of things falling into place, sometimes our manifestations happen really quickly. And we have to have patience with that, too, to realize we have to keep nurturing ourselves. Go ahead, Dee. What do you think?
I agree with you. I really do.
Is there anything else you want to add?
What?
Really?
Yeah, right. I'm here. Hello.
It's like, her intuition is like out walking the dog. But it happens.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where
all of a sudden my brain went somewhere else and I've got to concentrate again.
Yeah, because we've had people on the show before. They said, well, sometimes we get so caught up in listening to you that we have nothing else to say because you put it out there and said it all for us. So, what's your name here?
My name is Lisa Ray.
Lisa Ray. Now, do they call you Lisa Ray or do they call you Lise?
Lise is usually Lily or Lise.
Right.
I'm studying to be a nurse. And I'm taking a review course right now for my state board, but I'm having difficulty with the school that I attended. The new director is not forthcoming or helpful. Do you see that being resolved soon?
Well, one thing I will sit here and say with the situation, like I said before, you need to focus on you. And when you focus on you, you'll find a solution to get around these people who want to work against you because they have their own agenda. And it's the idea of putting it out there and understanding these people are not doing anything mean to you or anything like that. They're just being who they are. And when you sit and look at that situation and come to that realization, then it's just basically telling you that you need to continue to be who you are. Because you're thinking you have to step outside of the box of not being yourself to find a resolution here. And I get the impression that's just not true. And you have to sit here and focus and go within yourself. And sometimes it's just the ideal of seeing the prize and realizing he's just a stepping stone and step away. You know, because a lot of people have their own perceptions of things. They don't realize, so do you. And I always tell everybody, you know, when you walk into situations like that, that once you when you try to figure out what they're trying to do and when you try to figure out who they are, you're actually feeding into their perception. And what you want to do is you want to maintain a focus on your perception and what you see as the outcome. That's how you manifest things, is the idea of maintaining that. All right?
Okay. Yeah. I practice what you want to say, laws of attraction, you know, the gift of life, whatever you want to call it, but you're right. I felt like I struggled and fought so hard to get through the school program that when the end came, it was just not a big hooray. It was more of a big disappointment. So I gave in to the her illusion. And just try to get myself focused again is basically what you're saying. And it all manifests the way it should be.
You should be at the moment.
Right. You should also realize that sometimes in these situations, these people make us feel weak. That means they're pushing you back. So what you got to, the realization here is to realize that how powerful a being you are and that powerful entity that you are doesn't always imply that you're going to hurt anybody. It's the idea of realizing that energy and that power that comes along with it, to be such a powerful entity, is to always have the solutions to get past these situations. Because realistically, what's happening here with his attitude and stuff like that, he's the weak one. Because he thinks he has to control everything. We all know, being in the spiritual realm of things, that when you let go and go with the flow, that's the strength, because life always does. It's always when we start beating up against the whole thing and realizing this resistance is the one thing that's working against us.
Okay.
So when we relax and go, okay, I'm a powerful person, there's nothing wrong with that. And also the idea of being right. We've also been taught that too, that some, you know, people have a tendency to come back and say, well, you're being egotistic or self-centered and all that kind of stuff. The idea of being right, if you are right. I had a girlfriend like that. She said to my ex-fiancée, she's here and told me one time, she goes, the one thing I don't like about you is you're always right. And I said, oh, you mean I think I'm right? She goes, no, you're always right. You know, and I was sitting there going, I'm sorry, but I'm not. You know, that's what I mean. That's what people want. They want people who have the answers. So, you know, so why be scared to be that person? Plus, with the profession you've taught, that you've done, I mean, I feel like you've excelled through these things because you are just a natural healer.
Thank you. I believe so. I've waited 46 years to get to this point.
Yeah, but you got to look at the situation. It was just a refamiliarizing yourself to something that you've probably done your whole life and maybe even several lifetimes that you've always been. I feel like you've actually been on a couple of battle scenes yourself, too, as what you are. A nurse, a nurturing person who just has a tendency to know exactly what's up. And for some reason, I also get the impression that you have some doctors who get irritated with you because you know better than they do.
Yeah, because
they don't pay attention.
Exactly. So, hey, you know.
I don't think they pay attention.
Yeah.
They miss details that you see because you have your eyes are, you know, you're very sharp, and you see things. You don't miss a beat.
Yeah, she's a person who does have eyes in the back of her head.
Yeah,
so,
you know. You're upset about that.
Doctors don't
like
to be wrong. How dare somebody beneath them show them up?
Yes.
Well, you know, if they don't pay attention, they're going to miss something, and you're sharp enough that you catch things that they don't, and they don't like it.
They get their
poor little feathers ruffled.
And they should sit there and look at the situation. You know, when I look at it like that, instead of being angry and getting a little egotistic about the whole thing, they should learn and catch those details. You know, you're like a...
Exactly.
Feel that I'm the advocate for the patient, and that's me being the liaison between patient and doctor. And
why are you not teaching?
Oh, actually, that's my ultimate goal. I just signed up with an online program to finish my degree program, and I've really contemplated with another friend who's went to the same program with me to open a state NCLEX testing program so that we can get more nursing programs in our area.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So,
good to see people go into it because they want to go into it, not because of the money. My ex-fiance used to irritate me because the first thing I asked her, I said, why would you want to go into nursing for? She goes, $75,000 a year. I'm like,
having
a hard time with that.
Yeah, no, that's not my... I mean, it is a great reward, but it's not my ultimate goal. And I just always had a calling towards the pediatrician and women's health. So,
that's kind of good, too, because you actually have a very strong bond with children, too.
Oh, thank you. Well, don't tell my 14-year-old that.
Teenage years. And you know what they say, trying to raise a teenager is like trying to nail jello to a tree.
Oh, well, I don't know what's worse, my 67-year-old
I've
mom
never
or
heard
my
that
14-year-old
before.
Daughter.
You never heard that one before?
I've never heard that before.
Oh, but I found that in Female Creations Catalog, FEMAIL. It's cool. It's got all kinds of cool stuff in it.
I probably got you wrong.
I'm writing that down. Say that again.
It's like
what's the same or the catalog?
The catalog.
Female Creations, and it's FEMAIL, and they have this wild woman logo thing. They have some interesting stuff. And I saw that in there one time. Raising a teenager is like trying to nail jello to a tree.
Oh,
it's probably true. You really can't nail jello to a tree in the teenage years.
Also, what you should do, too, is there's two books you should read before you read the third one. And the first two books is actually 10 Stupid Things That Women Do to Mess Up Their Lives. And then there's the other one called 10 Stupid Things That Men Do to Mess Up Their Lives. And then there's number three, 10 Stupid Things That People Do to Mess Up Their Relationships. That couples do to mess up the relationships. The reason a lot of people don't like those books is because they're so dead on. There was one I've actually read both of them. My friend was like, "Why would you read both of them?" I said, "I'm a relationship counselor. I like to see both sides of the equation." You know, and I said,
"Well, thank you."
And I'm sitting there saying, I'm just saying, when you sit there and do these kind of, when you do anything, even the idea of a relationship, remember they always talk about doing the work, right? I think the work is to do research and say, okay, my wife is, or my girlfriend or whatever, when you're in these situations, how can I be a better partner? And I think the idea, there's something wrong with going off and getting the research and information and that kind of stuff. You don't tell them how to do it. What you do is you become it. So therefore, your reflection, you reflect it back to them, and then they hopefully, more than likely, especially if you have a person who's like you, will take the initiative and do it for themselves. And when people do things for themselves, all it does is add to the strength of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I should write a book on this, shouldn't I? Anyway.
Listen to your own tape. Okay.
Exactly.
So, yeah, because people ask me about the whole thing.
Be an advocate and step up. Okay.
Because I do the same thing too. I have books, and I also have CDs. I have some DVDs I've gotten on massages and orgasms and that kind of stuff. People are like, what do you get those things for? I said, because anything you can do to add to a relationship and always make things better and better and better, I think if your partner even sees you doing those things, it makes a difference, that they think, they know you're taking initiative and you really care about them, that you've taken the initiative to do so.
Well, I know you told you first.
Well, I'm just saying, when I'm in a relationship, I'm a Taurus, and we always have one thing agenda. We do not believe in one thing. We don't go into a relationship saying, okay, if this doesn't work out, there's always the next one. No, we go into a relationship for success and whatever it takes, and we give ourselves 100%. Yeah, some people say that Tauruses have a tendency to get hurt more than most of the signs in the zodiac, but I look at it like this. Pain brings things to the forefront, so therefore we don't relive those things. And when we get into the next relationship, if it goes down that route, because we're always striving for success in the relationship, that means it's like almost like saying success to us is how can I love my partner even more. But at the same time, we've also realized that as long as we maintain ourselves and love ourselves just as much, there's always going to be success in that whole situation. And if the person does walk away, we know for a fact the reason they walked away is because it was too real. That might sound crazy to some people, but the idea of realizations of being too real. I'll do relationship counseling for people, and one thing I'm tired of getting is guys who sit there and say, you know, I'm just not really ready for this. And I look at them right in the face and say, bullshit. if you wasn't ready for it, this would not be happening. Everything happens for a reason. The one thing I like to teach women is to step back and be a friend to your boyfriend or your husband. What that means is, see, we tell our friends just exactly how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, look at this guy. So when you look at the guy, and the guy goes, well, you know something? I really don't know what to do. And you look him right in the face and go, yes, you do. Why can't you just follow through with what you're already thinking? And they're like, okay, how'd you know that? We're in a relationship. Seriously, think about this. I've had people come and say, does this guy love me? I said, well, how come you don't know? And they go, well, I called you for you to tell me. I was like, yes, but you can't have a psychic on speed dial. When you confront people, I said, I guarantee you, baby, if you sit there and you love, if you love yourself unconditionally, you know what's going to happen? That love. See, the one thing, but also when we talk about the river, right, when we say go with the flow, when you love yourself unconditionally and you give yourself full unconditional love, it radiates. It flows out to everyone in your life. And we know for a fact that when you send that kind of love out, it also brings things to you. All good things will come to you. So when you have a person who has come to you and his dumbass is sitting there going, I'm not ready for this, it gives you the strength to go, yes, you are, because you're here.
Mm-hmm.
You manifest, and also to take it one step further and go, you manifested this. Aren't you going to take responsibility of your manifestation?
I like. No, because I'm a no BS type of person, and I like that. People out
there,
really a Pisces? I'm like, yeah.
I like
Pisces. I'll tell
you. Yeah, the girl I was actually with this last summer, which I've been focusing on manifesting that as being a reality of being back together. She's a Pisces too. And the one thing I used to like about her is, and I still do, and I always put there's parameters. I always say I do. I still like her because I feel like she is who she is. So I sit here and thought about the situation and said, you know something, I loved it. I loved when I would sit here and say things because she would always ask a question. She came to me one time and a friend of hers had said to her, you know, you're in love with him, but you're not in love with him. You just love him. So she came to me and said, and she said, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And I said to her, I looked her right in the face, I said, bullshit. And she goes, what? And I said, bullshit. She goes, what? I said, I'll tell you why, too. And she goes, okay. I said, first of all, don't come to a psychic and a relationship counselor with that kind of bullshit. And I said, second of all, this is what it means. And she goes, okay. Uh-huh. What does? And then she said, I loved it. She said, what does it mean? She asked the question. She said, what does it mean? I said, this is what it means. When a person, see, most of the time, people don't say they're in love with you because they're in the relationship and they're loving you. The people who say, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, are the ones who still love you as much as they ever did. But they're on the outside, wondering if they would really want to be a part of it. You see, that's why it's so important to look at those people and say, I love you unconditionally, and this is how I love you. I love you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength. If you can't deal with that, at least you have the information, so when you are ready for it, you know I'm already ready to go. And that's the honesty thing about the whole thing.
Well, don't you feel that people don't follow their intuition? I mean, the whole, now that I'm talking
I'm
thinking about past things that occurred with this school and this director, I didn't follow my intuition. And
yeah, you didn't follow your heart. Your heart was saying, this boy needs to be told off.
I told the president off in class one day. He was so full of his ego. Anyway,
people don't follow their intuition, you know. I don't feel like they follow their heart. And the reason I say that, because this particular woman we're talking about, I know for a fact when I was talking to her, and I said those things to her, and I said, I always follow my heart. She come back and said, I'm glad I didn't go down that road. So, see, she just acknowledged that she does feel the same way I do. She's just not following her heart. And then she says, you make me sick. You make me upset all the time. And I said, of course I do, because you're not honoring your feelings. People don't realize those emotional implications have a tendency to have an effect on your human body, that you feel like, oh, this is making me sick, this is hurting me, and that kind of stuff, until you honor those feelings.
Oh, I totally agree. I see it. I mean, your mind does not, you could just manifest all, your body is telling you to listen to your mind because your body's manifesting all that poison coming out.
Exactly. Because I already had this implication not too long ago where this guy came back and said, you know, when you reached out to her to contact her, and all I said to her was, hi, how you doing? And all of a sudden this guy comes back and said, hey, she's sick, she's upset, and you should leave her alone. I said, oh, I just told you guys, I said, have a great life and goodbye. Why are you even talking to me? And I said, I know why, because she's still talking. She's still expressing herself, and the guy already knows. So he's looking at me going, you need to leave her alone. I said, I just said hi, you know. So the rest, I said, that just proves your point. That just proves my point right there, because those feelings are still so strong within her that they're making her feel that way. Also, this guy who's trying to get rid of me also feels it, so he has to come on strong. He wrote back to me 3 times. I said, dude, I already said have a great life and bye. Why are you writing me and telling me all this stuff? She don't want nothing to do with you. She's this way. We're back together. I'm goody for you, but guess what?
Oh, insecure.
I'm sitting here looking at the thing going, guess what? That word, I have this bullshit meter keeps kicking in, and every time you write to me, it keeps kicking in that you're trying to convince me and you're trying to show me this picture. And when people try to convince me of something, I feel like they're lying to me, because why try to convince me of something that I should be able to see myself? Well, I do see it myself.
And
he's trying to come back and go, we're back together. You are? Whoop-dee freaking do. Thank you for telling me that. But I'm saying, I wrote to the lady and said, I miss your friendship. I don't know what set everybody off on the situation except for one thing. And I sent her and came on the air one night and said, flat out, I love you. I care about you. I hope that you're being I hope that you are being cherished, adored, and loved. And if you're not, I know a place where you can be, so come back.
Oh, and that brought out his insecurities.
Yes, but with her, the reason she's never responded to me on any kind of level is and blocked me on everything else, people say, well, you know, she knows, maybe she's mad at you. No, because those feelings are so strong.
Mm-hmm.
The first time she gives into them, it's going to be like a waterfall effect. And she's going to know.
Right.
She already knows. She already knows beyond a shadow of a doubt where she wants to be at. And she knows I'm sincere. Because, see, the people around her, as she, I remember she used to say this, people around her had a hard time following through with things.
Yeah.
But one thing I never had, and people were sitting there saying, and she's always sitting there talking about things and going, okay, I know the guy cares about me. I know he doesn't show it, but I know it. And so I was sitting there going, but why would you want to deal with somebody where you have to sit there and question it and you're always analyzing? You want to be a therapist for the rest of your life or you want to be a girlfriend? And I,
well,
you know, that's my thing.
I have friends like that, and they just love the drama. They just love to live within the drama because that's where they're at.
Boy.
And I've eliminated
but
those
sit
kind
there,
of people in my life.
But you'll never experience. You'll never until you can get to the point where you love being by yourself and you love life and you love the world. You're never going to be able to be with somebody to give you back anything unless you're willing to do it and give it to yourself. And that's what I was saying to her. I said, I follow through with everything. When I felt good, bad, or whatever it is, I told you. You know,
good.
I sit there and told, she asked me, she goes, what don't you like about me? I'm like, why should we even go there?
I can find
the positive. Yeah, it's like, can you look at the situation? I said, that's what I told her. I said, I understand where you're coming from. You know, I said, there's some things I don't like about you, but I guarantee you, all those things together make up you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I love you, and I care about you. I can say that. I don't have to sit here and say, well, you know, I don't like those certain things about you. I have a tendency to look at those things and realize that the things I don't like, if I'm looking at those things and feeding into those things and say, I don't like that about you, really I'm saying that, I'm really saying to myself, there's the things that I don't like about myself. And there's no reason to be insulted to her. That's what I was trying to say to her. I don't need to say those things to you. I see those things. They're reflections to me to work on myself. So you can sit and look at it too and go, okay, maybe those are some shortcomings with me. But also, just because I see them as weaknesses, they're weaknesses in me. They might be with her. They might be her strengths. And we have to see both sides of the equation.
With my divorce, I'm actually so grateful that I had so much time to myself because everything you just said has just come full circle for me. And, you know, hope the next guy in my life is we can work through more like that, that open communication. And
exactly.
Wow.
And that's why I continue to do. I tell everybody, you know, people might look at me and say, well, you shouldn't be saying certain things to certain people because they can't deal with it. But is that really my problem? Because I don't have a problem. I'm expressing myself completely to the fullest. Because I told a friend of mine today, I said, think about this. I said, you told me off one night because you said I came on too strong and the energy was too intense and I was just kind of like wanting to vent. But you told me you didn't want to deal with that. And I said, if you wouldn't have said that, then I would have continued to do what I was doing. But I said, since you said that, I think about that, and I understand that that's offensive to you. I feel like I still need to express myself. I did. But I told her flat out, I said, I understand you can't deal with that. So, but if we wouldn't have ever had that conversation, I wouldn't have, the next time I talk to her and I know I'm getting angry, I can find alternative ways to vent that to people who will take it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, people who not take it, but who can actually handle it.
I've actually had during the divorce, I went to see a therapist, and she was the best. She goes, you know, Lisa, when I tell you I see something, you sit back in the chair and you think about it. Most people, she'll say, she's very straightforward. Looks like Mrs. Mm-hmm. Claus that comes at you like.
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
But she says, you know, there are people who need to hear it, and they think you're hurting them. And it's like, why are you coming to me and paying me this money if you don't want to hear it? I mean, it's
Exactly. That's the whole thing. Why would you go to your, you know, you go to your friends and you're looking for advice, but then you sit and say, I don't want to hear it. Why'd you come here for then? You know, and that was, and the thing I was talking about with this girlfriend I had. See, the one thing that when we were together and it was just me and her and we really opened up to each other, she told me flat out she loved when I sit there and would sit down and talk to her and explain things to her in detail and tell her why I had the attitude or the why I felt the way I did. I told her, and she mm-hmm. and she always asked the questions, and I was sitting there going, and she said it. Pretty clearly when she said it one day, she said, I gave her a definition of, and gave her some insights to something, and she said, as always, you're always there to give me the information so I can maintain balance within my life. And why would this person go back to people that made her feel unbalanced? But sometimes you have to go back to this thing to realize that's not where you really want to be at, and then realize where you really want to be at.
I was just going to say, she'll turn around and appreciate what you've given her or will give her, because she'll, like I said, last 5 years have been a process of cleansing, and I really got rid of a lot of people in my life that were like that, you know, that just lived in the drama. And
that's the key,
too.
People don't realize sometimes we have a tendency to acquire friends because of fearful situations we're going through in our lives, and the reason they have a tendency to be kicked to the wayside is not because they're I've seen this, and there was actually the book, in that book, the 10 things that women do to mess up their lives, I think it's either number six or number nine, friends and family, how they want to make those people important. And it says like this, it says, when you sit here and tell your significant other, you are the one thing in my life, and then you make the number two, don't expect a positive outcome, you know, because you're lying. You're literally lying to those people. And then then your friends and family come into play. Why? Because they're excuses. Because to keep yourself from, like, we're always looking for wrenches to throw into things. And friends and family are the easiest wrenches to throw into, because they're going to sit there and let us throw them. You know, they're going to back it up.
Oh,
they're gonna,
God.
You know, I always tell them like this. This is how you can tell a good friend and a person who's basically just acquaintance is what I call them. When a person comes to the forefront and basically tells you all the bad things that this could be. Ruth came to me and she's like, how come all your friends are positive, but mine are sitting there saying nothing but bad things, or they're sitting there going, he could be a serial killer. He could be this, and this. And she goes, but your friends are all sitting there talking about all the positive things. I said, because my friends are supportive. They're not controlling. I said, if you listen to your friends, they get mad if you don't listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Are those really friends? You know, give advice, let it go. I give advice to people and say, okay, when you walk out that freaking door, you do what you want with it because you have free will. You know, free will, baby. But I said to her, I told her the same thing. Look at the situation. It's like look, people, so you ask the question, I'll tell you. When you ask the question, I said, that's what's going on. It's showing you. I was joking, too, because I told her, I said, yes, you're right, I'm a serial killer. I have a tendency to sit down my Lucky Charms and smash those suckers. So I'm a serial killer, okay? And I don't like Lucky Charms. Basically, they should take marshmallows and make that the whole thing. I'm sick of those other ones that don't taste good.
Not the crunch.
Yeah. Yeah, so you sit and look at the situation.
You're not Irish, are you?
No.
Actually, I'm quarter Irish.
Right,
what?
But
I'm a quarter Irish.
All right.
Me too.
Right.
When
right
I go to the
couch.
Bar... I'm a quarter Irish too. When I go to the bar, I expect a quarter of the people in there to buy me a drink. Anyway, but I was sitting there telling her, reason I'm telling you this is because when I sit there and say I love you, I don't think I could sit there and say I love you without actually expressing what I see and to protect you from these people and to help you understand it. Can I do it for you? No, I can't. But I can't sit back and not do nothing.
Wow.
And, you know, when you sit her.
Take that, though. I mean, is that when she turned around and said, I don't know how to deal with you? You're mean?
I think it's one of those things of sitting. If you have. This is what I feel like happened. When you got family, you got all these people. And I told her, it's amazing that we've seen each other for four or five months, and I never saw these people. But all of a sudden. All of a sudden they
come out of the woodwork, aren't they?
Right, and you know, particular people disappeared and stuff like that, and then they come back into life, and they start saying, "Well, this guy's mean because you know, first of all, she lives in England and I live here, and she was, you know, they used that as an angle. They used to sit there and say, well, since you guys haven't seen each other in person, then it's not real. I'm sitting there going, really? Why don't you sit there and check out a story that was on not too long ago? It was a guy who was in prison, and he met this girl, and this girl talked to him, did some investigation, and realized this guy's innocent. So she went to bat for him, and in the process of doing this whole thing, it took 5 years. Well, they fell in love, and they had this great relationship, but they could never touch each other. All they could do was talk, you know, share themselves as in expression and that kind of thing. Well, they were being interviewed, and this reporter looked at the guy and said, well, I guess since you got out, now you guys got to start all over again. And he goes, what are you talking about? Love is not a physical thing. Love is an energy that is expressed between two people, and we have that. And why do everybody always think that if you don't have the physical part, then it's not real? Because he said, well, I look at it, the physical part is just the last piece of the puzzle of what we already have. How could you sum it up any better than that?
I think most relationships should start off just like that, email, voicemail.
You get to know each other.
You get to know each other really well. I'm talking to a gentleman right now, and we have that right now, and I don't know where we're going to go. We're great on the phone. We talk, but, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Exactly. Enjoy it.
I want to say something, guys, real quick, okay, because actually we got about 3 minutes and 42 seconds, and what happens with Blog Talk Radio, there's no warning except for nothing. So what I wanted to say to you was if you want to join us tomorrow night, actually, tomorrow on the Friday and Saturday and Sunday shows, we're on for 2 hours instead of 30 minutes. And actually, we're trying to get donations. We're actually trying to get donations and people to come forward like they did last year, so we can actually get that format again. Because what we actually have to pay for this every month.
Oh wow!
That's what people don't understand. That's why I keep telling everybody we give free readings, but they're not really free because we got to pay for the show. Okay.
Okay. And what time tomorrow?
So, we'll be on tomorrow night at, I think it's 11. It's 11 Eastern. It's 11 Eastern.
I know what time that is.
We either get donations coming in, and I told everybody, I said, I've been working my butt off on the company. I worked for a couple companies myself doing readings and stuff, and what we're going to do is we're going to pay that back up again. But I actually have been talking to sponsorships and people who sponsored the show. It's just we're still in the talks. So as soon as we get to finalize it, because I told them, well, I've told some people. I said, if you want to sponsor the show, I'm actually going back to Colorado. I'm going to open a shop. So we're going to start doing remotes because in Colorado, where I used to live at, they also have some really great places. Ghosts. We're going to do some really major things for October and September, where we're going to start showing people ghosts and that kind of stuff. And we're actually going to start doing some stuff on Ustream and start people as we're doing the radio show. You'll also be able to see us, and we're going to start going and doing these. I have a paranormal group that I haven't really put into play yet called Psychic Ex-Journeyman Paranormal Investigators, and which I thought was a great name, so we got to do something with it, right?
So
we're going to – in Manitou Springs in Colorado, watch the Travel Channel from time to time when they have the most haunted – the 10 most haunted places, because Manitou Springs
Colorado.
Is in the top 10.
Okay.
Yes, it's in the top 10. We have ghosts. We have a thing called the coffin races. And what happened was there was a lady used to live back there. I think her name's Elizabeth or something. Well, back in the early 90s, they had a flood, and her body. Back in the day, you could be buried anywhere you wanted to. Well, she was buried up on the first ridge around Manitou Springs. Well, they had a big old flood, and her body got washed down to Main Street. So what happened was it spawned the coffin races every year, and that's what it's been every time. Yeah. And Manitou Springs is like Louisiana. It's like Louisiana in some sense of the word. When you go to Mardi Gras and all kind of, we have a miniature Mardi Gras. We have, you know, they have these festivals and parades and stuff. It's a really cool place. I mean, you got artists and hippies and psychics and witches and all kinds of mix of people. And have you ever been to Gatlinburg?
No, I can't say I have.
Well, Gatlinburg is really commercialized, and Manitou Springs is basically the same thing before commercialism hit it. So it's like they back in thing, but Manitou Springs is basically has a thing where they're trying to maintain the way it looked back in the 1800s. They don't want to be commercialized
and all.
Yeah.
All
they want to keep it down. They actually spent $4.1 million to actually have all the power lines buried.
Holy cow.
So you don't see power lines or nothing, which kind of killed the Christmas decorations.